everyone. I'm Faye Garnett. Thank you so much for listening to This Old Thing, my new podcast about all things secondhand. Thank you. I'm a stylist, fashion editor, and lifelong thrifter. And I'm also the senior fashion advisor for Oxfam for the last 5 years. Secondhand now means much more to me than ever before. As we know, the fashion industry is the second largest polluter in the world. It's really quite staggering. We need to do our bit to stop creating so much waste, to try and inspire more people to look great in secondhand. I wanted to ask my brilliant guests for their thrift tips and learn more about them along the way. And in each episode, I'll go on a thrift mission for my guests to find them something that they want from the Oxfam online store website, which I will then post on my Instagram. I'm so excited to share what my guest Deborah Meadham and I talked about earlier, because I learned so much, including a lot more about Deborah herself than the really super scary dragon on TV that I'm used to seeing. I hope you enjoy listening as much as I did making this. Thank you. Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
So, Deborah, what's your relationship with clothes and fashion like?
I'd say it's pretty inconsistent. So I love clothes, fashion. I like, you know, I love to see interestingly dressed people. At times I will put a lot of energy into what I wear and what I buy. And there's other times when I do nothing but slop around home in a pair of jumpers and a very faded t-shirt. So very inconsistent is the answer to that.
Well, that sounds very sort of independent to me, you know. And I think I'd probably do the same thing. I'll replace the jumpers with tracksuit bottoms. But yeah. And what do you think of the fashion and retail industry today? I know it's a very general question, but I would like to know.
Well, the truth of the matter is that human beings like, you know, it's driven by the fact human beings like new and they like fresh and they like to see different things, you know, and the fashion industry has always fed on that. And people have been pretty, you know, oblivious or haven't even thought about the consequences of this incredibly disposable approach to what we love and what we wear. I think the point is that nowadays we're all aware, we know what we are doing. And it's one thing to not act when you don't know, but when you actually know the impact you're having on the environment and the world and the, you know, the future of the people who live within the world, you've got to change your practices. So I think the fashion industry has been pretty slow. I think they've hoped that we will, you know, we won't cotton on very quickly about the damage we're doing. And I think they're a little lost as to know what to do about it, because they're so used to living in this, got to be new, got to be next season, got to be late. Then we're going to have a, you know, another season in the middle of the eight. You know, finding it difficult to change, I think.
Here, here, I think you've said it perfectly. And it's absolutely predicated on that. It's been predicated on selling stuff so people get very rich. I mean, that's literally the business model, right? I mean, listen, I'm no businesswoman, but yeah, and you've said it very well, but if you know about it, then, you know, you need to think about that and change the way that you do things.
Well, you have no right as an individual to worry about climate change, to worry about the planet and then do nothing about it.
Well, I think that's really well put. I really do. Do you shop secondhand?
Well, you've kind of picked a bad year to ask me that, babe, because actually made a pledge at the beginning of this year that I would buy absolutely nothing and that's all second hand this year. I have broken it once and I was very public about it, and I apologize because I did a run for charity and I tried doing it in my Toms, and that did my knees in. So I bought one pair of shoes all year. It's not a great year to ask me. When I'm paying attention to fashion, I like to pay attention to it. I don't just want somewhere and just buy stuff, you know, that outfit looks great, let's just get it off the shelf. You know, I quite like working at it, and that means I get it wrong sometimes, but you know, I'm not, certainly not averse to either buying vintage. I don't spend so much time in secondhand shops now because I get people following me around going, you look ever so much like that woman.
Well, you're very famous, Deborah, you know, you're like You know, I always love it when you say no to people. I'm out. I love it. I'm like, go, Deborah. And it's so good. You're so good on it. But I think that's, I'm sorry, I'm absolutely mind-boggled by that, the fact that you've actually done that. I think that's incredibly, I think that's very impressive.
Well, it's a little embarrassing, to be perfectly honest, because what it did make me realise is that I have got more clothes in my wardrobe than I can possibly wear for the rest of my lifetime. So, you know, I'm also, at the same time as saying I'm not buying, I am putting together things and passing them on to, you know, people like Oxfam, so that they don't just sit in my wardrobe, because we all do that. You know, we let it there because one day we might wear it again, you know, and I'm thinking, get it out of your wardrobe and get it on somebody's back.
Absolutely. But also that rationale is, it is a real rationale, but the truth is that it's that newness thing. So you can have a completely new wardrobe, but you know, what we're always, it's that thing of going back to what you said earlier, of always being fed, you know, the desirability you want, you need, you know, so to actually, for you to make that decision to stop that lust of something new, I think that's the most difficult bit of all, because that's not based on a rationale. That's just that.
But actually, it's quite fun, you know, because you don't just want to keep putting on a uniform. You just have to work it a little bit harder. You know, you have to combine things in a different way and make things that were looking slightly dated, you know, just think, well, actually, if I wear that differently, that's actually going to look a little bit more modern.
That's very true. I totally agree with you. Do you have a favourite vintage find?
I have. I bought it was fantastic. I was going to the Ethical Awards and I wanted to, obviously, you know, make the statement about ethical fashion. And luckily enough, found the most beautiful 1930s or 40s long evening coat. And it was absolutely gorgeous. It sort of light blue with a gold thread in it.
Wow. Which two pieces of clothing do you think that you would never throw out?
Well, yeah, I've mentioned one already. So the reason I wear jumpers, I do actually ride. So that, you know, I haven't just randomly got jumpers in my wardrobe, but they are the most comfortable trousers you will ever get, and they're oddly flattering, you know.
They're so stylish.
They are, you know, and when I'm at home in Somerset, I spend my entire life in jumpers. They're comfortable, they don't bag because they, you know, for riding they can't. They come in some really interesting colours. You get lightweight and winter weights. So I definitely wouldn't live without my jumpers.
I love that. I love that you wear jumpers. I mean, they are, I think, one of the most stylish things, item of clothing. It's amazing.
I will tell you, I have done a couple of Zoom calls and I've been sitting there, you know, very smart silk top on top, and I thought, if only you could see the bottom half of me now, right?
They think you are so eccentric. Because it's not a tracksuit. It's much more kind of formal. There's much more to them. Do you know what I mean? In lots of ways.
Yeah.
And Deborah, which outfit from your teens do you think kind of pretty much sums up that time for you? Can you think of an outfit that you remember wearing as a teenager when you were kind of, you know, trying to express yourself, or just that stands out for you?
Well, a good outfit was an absolutely beautiful Bieber dress that had a plunging back line. So it was very 1970s classic Bieber, came down below halfway down my back. And my sister was so envious of it, you know, she was, and that made it even lovelier. But I also made the worst fashion error I've ever made in my life, which sums me up completely, because I'm always pushing, you know, I like pushing the boundaries, and sometimes you get it wrong. And I bought these awful pink, it wasn't even satin, it was that sort of cheap satiny pretend material, harem pants, and a funny top that had sort of bows all over it, and I don't know what I was thinking.
Wow, they sound very far out, actually. Yeah, I'd love to see them.
Quite far out, yeah. That's one word for it, yeah.
And tell me, is there a piece of clothing or something that you really remember, or something that just is part of your memories of a member of your family or someone very close to you wearing when you were growing up? Like my father always wore, when he was gardening, he always wore a blue French workman's railway jacket.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it's lovely. He always wore them since the 60s. So, you know, is there something that you really remember that you've sort of never forgotten someone wearing?
The thing that I personally remember about me wearing was a lilac trouser suit. And I must have been about 9 or 10. And so my mother used to make my clothes, or a dress, or she'd get a dressmaker to make our clothes. And I think it was the first thing that I bought that had actually came from a shop. And I just remember, actually, when I see the photographs of it, it's actually quite nice. It sounds awful. But I just remember feeling the bee's knees because I'd had this shop bought lilac trouser suit. My mother at some point did have to say, "Deborah, you can't wear it every day."
Oh, yes, you can. That might be the answer to my next question. Which outfit do you remember wearing when you really wanted to make an impact?
If I go out to a ball or to an event, you know, I will always, if you're going to a ball, dress like you're going to a ball. You know, you don't get to do that all the time. And I have a beautiful azaguri that I've had for probably 20 years now. And it's the one ball dress that I always think, if I haven't found anything else, that's the one, because it is absolutely beautiful. It's quite understated, but it makes an impact because it is beautifully understated. You know, when there's a lot of noise going on in a room, it's just right. So I think that's probably, you know, that's the one that I think, right, I don't know whether everybody else is gonna go noisily dressed or elegantly dressed or, you know, understated.
But this is what I'm doing.
Right.
Yeah. And it sounds, yeah, it sounds gorgeous, actually. And Deborah, which movie is your favourite in terms of clothes style? Not as in the style of the movie, but the clothes in the movie.
Do you know what? One of the most stylish movies that I think is kind of got away with it is With Nail and I. And didn't he just look, how somebody could dress like that and just look right, you know?
Yes.
Exactly.
Actually, Deborah, very thrift store looking, you know, like that old messed up coat, a bit too big, but just, yeah, that heritage-y thing that's all disheveled and old. It's so stylish. Yeah, good. Oh, that's a great, that's a great one. I love it. Do you feel that style expectations in the last few years have changed for women?
Certainly in the workplace. Of course, people only ever really see me en masse in Dragon's Den. You see this very sharp-suited person, which they've come to accept or expect of me. But actually, there's been a real loosening up within the workplace. You know, there's been a real relaxation of style. And I think there's been this slightly converse thing, which is the more senior you get in your positions, you know, the further you get up your career, the more relaxed you're allowed to be about the way you dress. When you start, you want to be wearing the right thing, and yeah, you want to make sure you're sending out the right messages, you know, and by the time you get towards the end of your career, it's just, you think, well, just deal with it. I think that the whole Zoom piece has meant that hair, makeup, what you wear has become much more relaxed. You know, people are much more accepting of the fact that your hair isn't constantly coiffed, and you know, it's not always perfect, and you don't have to be wearing the latest and greatest. So I think it's accelerated the change.
I agree. We're all in the same Zoom together. Deborah, you wanted to be an entrepreneur and you wanted to run your own business. Why do you think you wanted to do it so much? And has it been what you thought it would be?
I know exactly why I wanted to do it. I don't take instruction very well, and I'm very independent, and I could just not see myself working for anybody. So if you're not going to work for somebody else and you're going to make some money, then you do it for yourself. So that's certainly why I did it, no doubt. And even, listen, I knew when I was about 7 or 8, I couldn't imagine me being in a job. You know, it just wasn't on my agenda. So I'm really clear on that. Is it what you expected it to be? I don't remember a time when I particularly looked forward. You know, I wasn't kind of imagining, oh, this is where I'm going. I just got on and did stuff. People expect me to have had a life plan. I can promise you I've had no plan in life whatsoever. I was just going to get on with what I was doing. And, you know, I just put my head down. I worked very hard. I took opportunity when it was passed in front of me. And, you know, and as a result, I've ended up in a place that I on the whole, because like nobody's life's perfect, but on the whole, you know, I'm pleased that I've got here.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Just that whole kind of the business and the kind of being, you know, kind of a risk taker and all of that. I sort of admire it, you know, because maybe because I don't have those qualities myself, really. But I think, oh, wow, that's so cool. I don't know. Oh, yeah, so that's what I think. So, yeah.
Thank you. Good.
I was going to say, how do you feel about your achievements? But it sounds like, you know, you're quite philosophical about them in that you did what you wanted to do, you know.
Absolutely. And I don't look in life. I've never looked in life at either my big moments of failure. You know, I don't weigh up my achievements. I don't think, oh, that was amazing. I did that, you know, or that was all I did that. You know, I'm not a looker backer. I've done that. I've been there. It was great. Now let's keep looking forward. So I find it really hard to look back on my life and think, oh, am I pleased with, I don't really know what I've achieved. I know that sounds silly. I know what I've achieved. You know, you just do what you do.
Yeah. And that's probably one of the reasons why you keep moving and you're successful, is because you're moving forward, you know, rather than being nostalgic or sentimental or whatever, you know. Deborah, how do you think the future of retail is going to pan out? I mean, things seem to have shifted so much in the last 6 months. What are your thoughts?
I don't think it's entirely clear, but I think we're getting indicators. What is clear is there's going to be a lot more online shopping. So that's, you know, well, that's happened. And I doubt very much now that people have moved so heavily into that, that they're actually going to move back in a different way. So I think that's definitely there to stay. But we are still social creatures. And shopping is as much a social event as it is actually buying stuff. And I think the interesting piece is going to be understanding that, where do people get that physical presence? You know, whether it becomes fewer shops in the high street, which it absolutely will, and maybe it becomes sort of showrooms, or you might even find the reemergence of sort of, you know, the old Tupperware parties, but with different products, so that people may take pop-up spaces and start selling product in that way. Because online shopping satisfies the need to buy things, but it doesn't satisfy the need to interact with other humans.
Do you still invest in different, well, obviously you do because of Dragon's Den, but do you, and I'm sure obviously I'm not on Dragon's Den, but how do you decide what you're going to invest in? Do you find it exciting? Tell me just about how you go about that.
It is exciting. It's what I do. It's what I love. And you know, Dragon's Den isn't a job for me. I don't have to work. So I do it because I love it. Yes. And I won't pretend that every year I think to myself, oh, is this my last year? I've done this for 15 years now. Is this my last year? You know, am I really going to enjoy it as much? And I sit in that chair and people come and present their service or their idea or their product. And I get, as you know, literally it's like a light comes on me. So I'm really interested in this, how it works. So I love doing it. I think it's going to be very interesting, the next series, because of course a lot of what I do when I look at an investment, I look into the past. I think, has this person got track record? You know, has the product fed into the market? What are the numbers in the market? But there are so many changing, moving parts at the moment. And we're not going to be able to rely on what happened before, because what's going to happen in the future won't look exactly like that. And I think that when we go into the den, it's going to make for a very interesting series, because dragons are going to have to change their evaluation process.
Tell me, what is your favourite style decade?
Probably the 1950s, but I think that's to do with, I mean, it was before, I was born in 1959, so that it was kind of is before my, you know, I wasn't really aware of it. But I do remember watching some of those black and white movies and some of the Hollywood outfits. I mean, they were absolutely stunning. Yeah, and the way they moved and the hats and the way they, you know, the way they just, they were dressed top to toe.
Yeah, so true. Joan Crawford and, oh, yeah, all that stuff. Amazing.
My younger sister, Cass, is incredibly stylish, and she is that kind of style, you know, and I just look at her and I think, she always looks amazing. And I just look at her and think, oh my goodness, like sometimes I wish I had the commitment to it, you know, because that's worth it. You look fantastic.
The people that can do that sort of just as a way of life, I think it's amazing, because I couldn't. And tell me, whose closet would you most like to raid?
Okay, it's my father's 80th birthday, and I've just been looking through some family photographs to put together a sort of photo book for him. My mother was stylish. Well, is stylish, actually. She is now. I don't know why I'm surprised. You know, she is now, and she does put the time in and the energy, and she's always looking amazing. So I've been looking through sort of some photographs of 1960s, and she's wearing absolutely classic. She could have been in a movie. You know, she's wearing the ruffled shirts and the trouser suits, which were really, you know, trendy then in the 1960s for women. She's got a fantastic photograph of her in a suit that's going to sound awful, but it looks amazing. So it's sort of green paisley swirly top and flared legging trousers, and she's standing on this rock with her hands in the air. She just looks absolutely stunning.
That sounds like a great image. I'm trying to kind of picture it, but it sounds very stylish. Paisley's, I think, paisley is so stylish. Tell me, if you could have invented one item of clothing, what would it have been?
Well, guess what? Joppers.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
I'm jealous of the answer. It's so good. I love it. What's your best fashion or thrifting tip?
Yeah, I love a scarf, because they can just do so many things. And if you get the right scarf, you know, sometimes I've had days where I've been working and I'll be working all day, and then I've got something else to do at 6 o'clock, and then I'll be on a TV, you know, having an interview in at night, you know, and you need to change your look. So I look for, often quite big scarves. And sometimes, particularly when you're looking at the vintage stuff, you look at the real thing and you realize that it isn't just about the design on the fabric, it's about the fabric and the way the whole thing moves. So I always think I need to, you know, appreciate the whole thing. Don't just see it as a, particularly with a scarf, you know, appreciate the cloth. Appreciate the fabric that it's on, appreciate the way it moves and how authentic it is, and then find a way of making that relevant and modern with whatever you're wearing.
That's a really good tip. I've actually always loved scarves too. I think I think scarves are really super stylish. I've always thought so, but totally transform an outfit, you know.
Yeah, and you can change the way you wear it as well. So you know, even if you've only got one scarf, you can just wear it in a different way and you look different, you know.
That's a great tip. And there were any current obsession you'd love to find in a charity shop or a thrift store? Have you got a thrift mission you'd like to send me on?
I don't, no, I'm not allowed to. I am not allowed to, am I?
Oh, no, you're not. No. I'll say a couple of quick fire questions. Denim or leather?
Denim.
Preppy style or rock and roll?
Rock and roll.
Oh, yes. Silk or velvet?
Velvet.
Leopard or floral?
Leopard.
Leopard. Well, yeah, great. Deborah, thanks so much. Thank you so much. It's gone too fast.
I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I have thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And thank you so much for everyone listening. Thank you. And please do subscribe and leave us a review. And if you want to tell me anything, feedback on the podcast or your own thrift tips, or ask me anything, jump on my Instagram, Bae Garnett. And I'd love to hear from you. And thank you. And keep on thrifting or not buying anything. Thank you, Deborah.